Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. Let's prepare ourselves to go before our Abba in prayer. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Temptation, but deliver us from evil, but not kingdom. Ask for deliverance with us, refill us, refresh us, with us, with presence. As it's great, and the fullness of the earth, and honor this day of worship. You are the Lord of the Sabbath, Yeshua. You are. And this day was created for us, not us for it. And we thank you. We rest and we relax our spirits and our minds, and we keep it Kodesh. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shema. 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 Shema, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of glorious kingdom, reigns forevermore. Hear, O
hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is Lord, King of Kings, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom this world calls Jesus Christ. I am Be the Preacher. You are tuned in to Blueprint for Life here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a show designed to bring the relevance of the scriptures to our everyday life and understand that the commandments were never done away with, and they're not simply a suggestion right now. They are commandments. Must be kept, have to be kept. It wasn't suggestive when he mentioned it in the book of John. It was intentional, meant to be taken very serious. He didn't say, if you love me, change my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you can forget about my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you can tamper with the commandments, reject them, or belittle them, John 14 and 15. This is how we know that we are a part of him and with him, because of keeping the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, is a sign between us and him. We know that we're still in our final captivity. We know we are under the priesthood, under the order of Melchizedek, that we all have a responsibility as priests. But we're to come out of this world anyway, which even brings to mind questioning, yeah, your civil rights are to vote, but why are we engulfed with the decisions of man's procedures and policies that are only designed to destroy more families with its deceptive coding and writing that you can't even read through and you don't know which way to vote? The Bible says when Yeshua returns, the government shall rest upon his shoulders. He'll have a new name. You'll have a new name. We'll all have new names then. But that's where our hope lies in. There's no count, vote, election, one man. Nah, not going to change anything. Satan's trying to take everybody with him. And that's why he's down here upset, because he knows his fate. Do you know your fate? Have you sealed your fate? Have you accepted him? I want to say that real quick before I get into health as well. The reason I want to say it is because I was going to talk about, well, I'm going to talk about scriptures that highlight who we are, that are very descriptive. Don't let nobody tell you that descriptions and things like that don't matter. He gave his oracles in the New Testament to one group of people to disseminate amongst the rest of the world. And this is the time of the Gentiles for them to come in, and the branches don't boast against, the roots don't boast against the branches, and likewise the opposite direction. No one's bragging that they're better. At this time, we all have the opportunity to serve him, honor him, and trust him. After you get through knowing who you are as a person culturally, your creed, your nationality, your true roots, your true heritage, you still got to get delivered from things that you struggle with and wrestle with on a daily basis. And I know that the ante is upping itself in these last days with anxiety attacks and different things people are struggling with, because we really don't know what's around the corner. Only the Most High knows what's around the corner. And he can see Satan's plans before they manifest in the atmosphere on the earth. All we can do is try to keep a relationship with him, and the only thing that's going to help us is having been born again, receiving Yeshua as your Savior, recognizing he died for you, his blood was shed for you, and then on top of that, being baptized, and then after that, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a one-time event. Sometimes you need that refreshing, refilling every week, every day, every hour. It can get real lonely out here, even when you're surrounded by people. So know that that deliverance is the key component. And then it's good to know who you are, your true history, where you come from, and understand what the Most High has planned for those of your nature. He's got gates for you to walk into to get into the kingdom and city that he's designed and developed for us. So let's keep that in mind, that you must be born again, you must be delivered, and then knowing becomes a good badge of honor. It's not enough just to know. We got people out here that's wearing fringes and tassels and head wraps, and it's a costume party, and they don't know Yeshua, and they don't accept Yeshua. They're pretty much in Judaism. And then you got another group of people that have pretty much just created their own religion of self-righteousness, and they feel justified. It's called the conscious committee, the conscious crew that's going around here saying, I'm woke. They think they know everything. And we don't know everything, because every day is it's school time every day. And like I said, I've been living long enough now to know you could turn on that TV and something could be happening to change your whole world and the whole world right in front of your eyes. We've seen a lot of game changers with Satan's strategies and tactics, 9/11, pandemics, but it's all written in the Bible. You need somebody to be able to teach it to you and help you to understand so that you're not just sauntering out here, wandering around, cavalier, serendipitous. You need to understand what could possibly happen, what you need to do to avoid it, and to work on bettering your life and your spirit, your health, and your body. All right, when we come back, take a small break. When we come back, we'll get into health as wealth and go over a few of the herbs of the day.
Royalty, royalty, powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty. Yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Chosen people, royal priesthood.
Hey.
Royalty.
Okay, welcome back to Blueprint for Life. And that song definitely is very appropriate for where we're going today. Conversation and the lesson is going to be on the truth of who we are. Power to the chosen people. We are royalty. Coming back to knowing who we really are. Kings, priests, chosen people. Chosen people. Walk like it, talk like it, act like it. Don't have to be arrogant. Don't have to be covetous. But we just know who we are as a people. Let's get into the health and wealth segment, because we know you can have all the money in the world, not have your health. Don't have your health, you don't have anything. The herb that we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about a couple of them today. The first one is Irish moss, one that you've probably been hearing a lot about, which is Irish moss and sea moss. And they're all pretty much the same thing. The sea moss and Irish moss are forms of seaweed that come from the ocean, just like the chlorella and spirulina. So all these things are very beneficial for you, things that come from the ocean. The Irish moss in particular has calcium, iron, iodine, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, potassium, selenium, zinc, vitamins B1, B2, B3, and C. Irish moss is a seaweed that is also a nourishing food for those recovering from illnesses. It's like something you should partake of if you've just come out of a surgery, operations. You know, I remember once before my dad had a kidney transplant along with my sister, and all he did was juice. He didn't eat the hospital food. He juiced, had us bring in fresh juice and things like this. These are actually foods, Irish moss, sea moss, chlorella, spirulina, that can aid your body in healing itself a lot faster, a lot quicker. So it's an expectorant. It aids in the formation of stools and pulling toxins from the bowels, including radiation poisoning. It can be used for tuberculosis, coughs, bronchitis, glands, goiter, thyroid, weight reduction, and intestinal problems. That's Irish moss. Next one, outside of Irish moss, is one that you probably hear about once a year on a pagan holiday, the one that you used to keep, and that's mistletoe. Most people didn't know mistletoe was an herb as well, or tea. It could be ground into a tea, not hung over a door to do a pagan practice on a pagan holiday. Mistletoe is an antispasmodic. Good for hypertension. Yeah, it's a stimulant, and there are no known drug interactions. The main uses are as a sedative and to lower your blood pressure. Its action on the circulatory system is to raise the blood pressure and then to lower it below its initial level. So it has a sedative effect on the nervous system. And there's evidence that it may have anti-tumor activities. It can be used for epilepsy, convulsions, stop menstrual flow, circulation, asthma, arthritis, tonic nervous tension, HIV, diabetes, can affect all these things and aid in the healing of all these things. Also good for breast cancer. Once again, that's mistletoe. And they have it in a tincture form. It is available in a tincture form. So there you have it. I talked about this last week, that I was going to bring this up because people are kind of like surprised, alarmed when they hear that mistletoe could be used for different reasons, various reasons. All right, talking about who we are as a people, getting into who we are as a people. It's where we want to go, right? After we come back, we're going to get into these scriptures. It's going to be a number of scriptures.
This is truth music, the truth movement. Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy this planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hates us. The world is against us. We gon' bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many lies been told. We waking up so many locked up, so many shot down. You can't keep to the
Summer out here in these parks, especially after all the smoke, kind of getting some fresh air for a few minutes, and then they'll be back to poisoning us. So once again, mistletoe. I recommend that herb, that supplement, because a lot of us wrestle with high blood pressure. I got to pick up some more myself because I forgot that what the effects and what mistletoe does, and it deals with blood pressure and cancer and diabetes and different things. So that'll be an important new tea or herb or supplement to add to your diet, to your regimen, so that you can see those changes. I'm going to get into some of these scriptures about who we are as a people. That's why I play royal tea. And as I mentioned once before, I'm not a big, not an advocate of one just knowing who they are, but not knowing Yeshua as your personal Savior, being baptized and filled with His Spirit. This is just for personal knowledge, personal scriptures, so people can pinpoint history and some historical facts. Now, you get some real scholarship when you put these historical factual scriptures along with some history, some books like Lerone Bennett, Before the Mayflower, Sanders, Babylon to Timbuktu, The Third Tribe by Arthur Koestler, the 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler. There's a lot of books out there, so you can substantiate these scriptures. So I'm going to go through a number of scriptures. I started this last week, but since there were so many scriptures, I kind of just gave them out. So today, this morning, if my throat holds up, I'm going to go ahead and read a number of these scriptures. We're going to start with Psalms 137. And 37:1. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. They wept. True Israel wept when they thought about where they had been snatched from and how they were being chased out of their motherland and homeland due to their negligence and disobedience. Our forefathers breaking the statutes, laws, and commandments on a continual basis. Constantly. Let me keep reading. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. That scripture is very short but deep on so many levels, because when the slaves got to a certain area down south where they were picking cotton, it wasn't no more singing. They hung their harps on the trees. They saw many of their loved ones hanged from these willow trees. There's only one region where you can find these, and that would be in those areas down south, close to Virginia, Point Comfort, 1619, where the first slaves landed. This Psalms 137 is a song, but it's very descriptive of Deuteronomy 28:16. We'll get there in a minute. For there they carried us away captive and required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, wanted us to tap dance and sing and coon out, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. We're being mocked. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? This was our reply. We knew we were in captivity. We were like, we're not over here to sing and entertain you, but sure enough, after a bunch of whippings, posts, and hanging, and beating, and everything, and we realized we wasn't going back because we knew it ain't the white man, wasn't the white man. He was utilized for that purpose because he knew we had broke covenant with our Yah. And he knew that the curses were upon us because these people read and understand our records better than we read and understand them, and we don't want to know them. Let me read one more verse. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my life. I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. That was the motherland, the homeland. They were already weeping for what they had and what they walked away from. Let me keep reading because it's so interesting. It's hard for me to not make commentary sometimes when I think about the fact that we all walk away from things, we make mistakes, and we don't actually take into consideration the consequences of these mistakes. And it was a big mistake for our people to constantly break covenant with Yah in so many captivities. Constantly. Thank the Most High. This is our final captivity. Let's do another one, 1 Kings 8:1. Y'all out there, pray for my voice, my throat. I don't really know what's going on. All right, we're going to 1 Kings 8:1. So we can break down that Jerusalem a little more that we just read about in Psalms. We're getting precepts. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs, the fathers, the children of Israel under King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Most High out of the city of David, which is Zion. This is what they were missing, what was set up by their forefathers, Solomon. Let's go to another one, Galatians 4:26. Move to the Old Testament. We've just got a few precepts today covering who we are. Galatians 4:26. Just bear with me. This computer, everything is just trying to move a little slow today. We're going to get it. We're going to get it going. All right. Galatians 4:26 says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem is our motherland. Africa's not our motherland. That was the land of Ham. And then the upper part where Jerusalem was connected was called, they say, Niger. Some of the older maps, you'll see Judah and you'll see Niger, land of Judah, because we fled down there as we were being chased out by the Romans. We fled to that area. But what I wanted to definitely point out, verse 26, which says Jerusalem, which is above, is free. So the government of Jerusalem is above us right now with Yeshua when he comes back with a new heaven and a new earth, and the government's going to rest up on his shoulders. But our motherland, as spoken of in the New Testament, is spoken of in Galatians 4:26. Jerusalem is the mother of us all. So it would be safe to say that that was close to the area of Eden as well, the Garden of Eden. We already know about Deuteronomy 28:68. Let's take a look at Exodus 20:2. Let's take a listen to Exodus 20:2. Go there with me. I'm going to read it as it is. It says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So, now let me read it again. I am Ehayah, Most High, your power, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and this time we're going to read not 68, which talks about the bondage and the ships. We're going to read, we'll go a little bit further back. Let's do Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 47. This is more, this is everything in Deuteronomy 28, 14 through 68 is very descriptive of who we are as a people, and it should definitely be in your notes, like Deuteronomy 28, Psalms 83, and Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. That should be in your artillery belt so that you are prepared to deal with questions about people trying to understand how is it that you're an Israelite, which is in the Bible over 200 and something times, if not more, and Christianity is nowhere to be found in the Bible, nowhere. And people were, and the word Christian was used three times in the Bible alone, only, and almost as a form of mockery. And Christianity as it is today, it's not the same as it was before Constantine. Constantine took from the people who were called Christians in Antioch their beliefs and merged them with pagan beliefs and created a new form of Christianity and changed it to sun worship on the first day of the week, tried to blend in their God and their pagan practices and get rid of the real holy days of Leviticus 23 and brought in the pagan holidays. Okay, let's see. Verse 47 of Deuteronomy 28 says, because thou servest not the Most High, Yah, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Most High shall send against thee in hunger, thirst, nakedness, and in want of all things. You don't own any clothing shops. I don't care if you got a clothing line. You buying your material and your stuff to be made from somebody else. We don't own anything. You'll be in want for all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And that was, you may, you can type it into Google right now, yoke of iron, and you see a picture of a slave with his back with webs. This was on the cover of a book, I believe it was from, I can't think of the name of that book right now, but this was used on the back cover of the book where the slave has been beaten and he's got a yoke of iron on his neck. The logic behind the yoke of iron was to make the slave wear it until his spirit had been broken, to break his spirit, and then he won't even try to run. Those yokes of iron had bells on them and everything, to try to break our spirits. Now that as a people our spirits have been broken, we don't know where to go. But let me get ahead of myself. People don't realize we're the indigenous of this land called America. We were here farming and tilling this land a long time ago because the 10 tribes begin to scatter around the world, but mostly in the Caribbean, South America, and the Americas. Back, I don't have the exact date in my head, but if you look at 2 Ezra 13, 39 through 69, it describes us coming out of captivity out of Syria to find a place where we can go and keep the commandments and not be bothered. And this is what even, you know, ticked me off. They still had Columbus Day, but this is what fake Columbus came over here and found and said, I found them. Went back, told the queen, I found those lost tribes. I know where they are. We were existing with other indigenous people that are known as the Indians of today and these Eskimos. Okay, let's move on. Let's do 1 Kings, the 8th chapter. Verse 46. Okay, I hope you got it. Here we go. 1 Kings 8:46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, And thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. And then 47 says, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land. This is where it comes from, us facing Jerusalem when we get ready to pray, which is to face to the east. To the east, my brother, to the east. Which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive your people that have sinned against you and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that ye may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought forth out of Egypt. That scripture right there is deep. That's 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, which is very descriptive of the fact that we broke the commandments and we have to bethink ourselves in the land of our captivity, which is the awakening you're seeing right now. We're thinking like, wait a minute. Everybody's scratching their head like, wait a minute. And this is happening, and thanks be to Yah, this is happening for the last time. When we come up out of this captivity of Babylon, we're going home to Mother Jerusalem after we go through the wilderness. But did you see all the steps we just read? You got to bethink yourself and repent. That's what we talked about last week. People waking up, but they're not doing these other steps right here. Come back to him with all your heart. Chase him with all your soul. Repent. Look towards the east. Pray. Beg for forgiveness for you and your forefathers. Because he knows that all have sinned. We just read that. I admonish you to write down 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and read this entire chapter. This is where our forgiveness lies, way back in Kings. So you're saying, like the song just got through saying, we're kings and queens, well, why don't you go read Kings? Find out what you're supposed to be doing. Repenting, actually, right now for your people. That's who you call the black man. It's a byword. Talked about in Deuteronomy 28. Repent for your forefathers. Repent for your ancestors. Repent on behalf of your deceased loved ones. Probably didn't get a chance to totally wake up and return to the commandments, but tried to serve him to the best of their ability, because to whom much is given, much is required. These are the things that we're supposed to be doing. So it's not enough for everybody to be waking up, because you'll wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Wake up and plot your course, your navigation for the day, which in the spirit realm means, if I'm waking up, I need to prepare myself for where I'm going. And this is very descriptive here in 1 Kings 8. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah 17 and 4 says this, and thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. But you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. We have no idea how hot the Most High is with his people that he chose, that he thought was special. He's highly disappointed in us. I want you to get that imagery in your mind so that you can become more repentant and teach people to be more repentant. He's hot with us. He picked us, chose us, and then we walk away, and we bring a lot of corruption to the world because, believe it or not, that calling is on us, and they still follow everything we say, do. It's like every form of American so-called music was created by the slave. Styles, sports, entertainment, 75% of the NFL, almost about 85% of the NBA. It's ridiculous. Just like we read the first verse, sing us one of those songs, Zion. Play us some music. Entertain us. And what we're supposed to be doing is pointing them back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Brothers and sisters, allow me 1 minute to sip on this tea to calm my throat down, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, I want to sing my song. It's a God now, it's a God now. But I got to say like David and make some declarations. For sure. Because you see the day and age that we're living in. Can't try to steal from the hand that feed it. My mama used to, some of us do that. You know?
Yeah.
But listen. Talk.
Father God, I come to you. Presenting me heart and my life to you. I present my pain and my strife to you. Present all my troubles and my worries to you. That's what I want to do. All of that come to you. Presenting me life and my
life. Okay, let's continue. Let's go to Daniel 17 and 25. Who we are as a people. Understanding, going through the precepts. Going through the precepts. Going through the precepts. Daniel. Book of Daniel 7. I'm sorry, I said 17. It's actually Daniel 7 and 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And this is talking about the fact that this scripture is really prophetic. I didn't want to get into this a lot right now. I'm not, but this is the son of perdition. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, and that 3.5 years is spoken of right here. And the saints that he's going to wear out, you find that in Psalms 148, who the saints are. Israel are his saints, the horn of his praise. That's what Psalms 148 says. And we're living in a time where we're going into Jacob's trouble, and Jacob's trouble is going to warrant him wearing the saints out, the people of Yah. People, this is all about you. Because you are, as we read last week, we are the jewelry, God's jewels, the Most High's jewels. And he's gonna bethink himself too and come back and get us and say, okay, I'm no longer upset with you. Like, you don't stay hot with your kids for long. You chastise them, and then by that night, y'all watching a sitcom together, cracking up, laughing, eating popcorn. Most High loves his people that he chose because we're the only people he gave the commandments to, the oracles to. He didn't choose no other nation. He didn't choose the Moabites, Moab. You're going to be Moab again. Right now you call yourself Chinese. He didn't choose the Ammonites, Ammon. You'll be Ammon again. Right now you call yourself Japanese. There's so many more. Turkey, which are ships of Tarshish, and all these various countries, all the names have been changed. You have to go to Wikipedia to find out what these countries really were. But he chose Israel, Jerusalem, gifted us, anointed us. But we have upset him by breaking these statutes, laws, and commandments. You want to see who the saints are? That's Psalms 148. Now let's go to Revelation 13. Let's go back to the New Testament. All right, Revelation 13, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And it says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yah to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, nations, races, and all that dwell upon the earth. This whole chapter right here is talking about the beast and the mark of the beast and what's coming. But he's very specific about he wants to attack Yah's people because this land was created for the people that were made in Yah's image. And we were given authority until we gave that authority away in the Garden of Eden. And we're disobedient because that was the first commandment. Don't eat of this tree. And don't even talk to that thing over there. Don't eat of this tree. Game is a cold piece of work. Psalms 149. I know we're going back and forth, but that's how it is with the precepts. It says in Isaiah, a little bit here and a little bit there, line upon line, precept upon precept. To establish it, you must be able to go throughout various scriptures to establish a point. Not somebody getting philosophical with you or yelling at you from the pulpit and just yelling their philosophical perspective and saying that they're prophesying. No, I need you to show me what scripture that is, where it's written. Psalms 149. Read verses 1 through 9. Praise ye, Yah. Sing unto the Most High a new song and praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto his name with the tambourine and the harp. For the Most High takes pleasure in his people. His people. His people. We're teaching the whole world how to dance. Ain't nobody got rhythm like that. Verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of Yah be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. What? That's that word. To execute vengeance upon the heathens and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise ye the Most High. He said that no weapon formed against us would prosper, but every tongue that rises up against us, we're supposed to condemn. So the true saints of Yah who come back to the commandments, keeping these commandments, you don't have to take it. You can put a praise in your mouth, a double-edged sword in your hand, and you can condemn and rebuke Hashatan, and take your authority. But if you half-step, and you better half-step out the way, go to the back of the battle, because you're not going to survive. Let's look at another precept, the book of Amos. I know it's going to take you a while to find that. Amos, the fifth chapter. Once you get to Amos 5, verse 23. You know this chapter, Martin Luther King used excerpts of this chapter in his speech at the plaza. But this is also a prophecy that Amos is giving from the Most High. And he's saying that we would be in the state that we would offer him offerings and meat offerings. And he's like, I don't want it. That's verse 22. I don't want your peace offerings, sacrificing your beasts. And then verse 23, he says, take thou away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your vials. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Had he offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Shiun, your images, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, said the Most High, whose name is. Now, I'm going to say this right. It says here, God of hosts, but it's actually Yah Sabaoth. Yahweh Sabaoth, which means God of hosts, the host, Lord of hosts. You know how the English version took everything out and took away the power of those words that were there. But nonetheless, did you hear that? This is where you get that star of Moloch that these people be wearing, telling everybody it's the star of David. It's a six-pointed star. And he said, you made it. I ain't got nothing to do with that star. Y'all made these with your hands and go say this is your God. That's the God right there of Moloch, Shayun. The images of your stars, of your God. And we know Moloch was the God that Israel started sacrificing their own babies to for power, putting their babies in the fire, which was an eagle, an owl God. So he's like, I don't want to hear your jumping and shouting in church, your shouting music. It's all noise to me. He's waiting on his people to repent. He ain't got nothing to do with your symbols, your stars, the gods you keep running to where you're sacrificing your children and letting these other gods have your children. You worshiping other, there's so many people into this new age religion, African religions, tarot cards, crystals, and a lot of our sisters are into this stuff. The Most High is pissed at his people. We got to get his people to come back and repent. I'm taking another approach right now. I'm talking about the truth of who we are, but the fact of the matter and what I said in the beginning, even after you know, it's not enough to just know. You got to repent and come back to him wholeheartedly, as spoken of in the book of Kings, the 8th chapter. You got to go there. So you got to cry out loud. You can't make a suggestion that people repent. You got to cry out and tell them you better repent. Are you going to hell with the knowledge you have? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I'm going to actually go back to Revelations, the 15th chapter. I think I'm going to do verses 2 and 3. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, 666, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now we'll pick up our harps, play and sing, all to Yah. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Yah, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Most High Almighty, just and true are thy ways, the King of Saints. Guess what, y'all? Ain't going to be a whole lot more preaching when we get into the new Jerusalem, new kingdom. We're going to be worshiping, singing, joyful, continuously. For the word has already been received and converted those who have made it into the promised land. We will just probably be more blown away by Yah and Yeshua sharing with us the so-called secrets of the universe and helping us to understand certain things. But we will worship him, praise him, and hold him in high esteem for overcoming the mark of the beast. Let me pause parenthetically and say that we get ready to go into a rough time, y'all. Mark of the beast is real, and we're not going backwards. This is not going to be over. The stages are set for the next big bombshell, which is to thrust you into a time where you're going to have to make a decision on whether you will take the mark of the beast and worship the beast when he reveals himself. And there's so many peace platforms going on. Scripture tells us when they say peace, then comes sudden destruction. Now's the time to just get yourself, your mind made up that for Yah I live and for Yah I die. And if Yah could bring out the children of Israel, he could bring me out too. I hope that I'm counted worthy. And that's all we're doing is we're struggling to be counted worthy. And I heard somebody say today, don't think he's disappointed with you if you're going through trials and you're trying your best. You will get there. You have to work towards being a painter. You don't just become a painter the first day you try. You get better with your efforts, which is why he established grace and mercy. And don't forget your brother Yeshua sat in the Garden of Gethsemane with sweat profusely running down his forehead saying, God, is there any other way we can do this? Now, he didn't use those exact words. He said, can this cup pass from me? And then he said, nevertheless, thy will. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of praying where we're going to have to trust him for our finances, for our food, for our shelter and protection. We're going to have to trust him. We're going to have to trust him. A lot of people say, you know, hey, food might get slim. I may not be able to go to the store. If all I got here is some ham, I'm eating that. Well, you don't know the seriousness of not eating unclean food there. And you're not trusting him to keep you in your right ways. It's just a little bit I wanted to share with you. Let's get some more. We got a few more. I got about 1, 2, 3, 4. I got about 6 more scriptures we're going to go through. We're going to go through them pretty quick. The next one is Psalms 48:10. I hope y'all can roll with me today. To my throat, I don't know what's going on. Keep me in your prayers. Get our strength up. 48:10. According to thy name, O Yah, so is thy praise unto the end of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Most High Yah, as he hath commanded us. He's talking to his people. Expectations let us know who the righteous are. Keeping the commandments. These, you got to understand. Don't tell me the synagogue of Satan over there in Israel are his people, because they don't keep the commandments. They created Judaism. They created their own language. They got that star Moloch. They're sitting over there trying to find red heifers and make another temple. And they're talking about they're still looking for Yeshua. Now, some of them, you don't get the exception because you accept Yeshua. What has to be done is you have to repent and acknowledge who we are as people, who Yah is, who his people are, because you can't just steal a heritage and act a lie, because he's not the author of confusion. Scripture already tells us that you're going to come grab our the hems of our garments, they can't take us with you. Truly, you are the people of Yah. That's in the Bible. We read that last week. We're going to come to worship at your feet, according to Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. And we're getting close to that time where the revelation is coming. And it's all going to be synonymous with the coming civil war, the coming World War III, the coming more plandemic, and then the return of Christ, which is judgment for 1 hour. Let's get some more scriptures. Did I read? Yeah, I read 25. Let's go to the book of Obadiah. One hitter quitter. Obadiah is one chapter, and it's powerful. But we're not going to go. You can do a whole lesson on Obadiah, breaking down these Romans. Esau. Oh, man. I was actually watching on TV a show. I think it was called Fargo. And the mobsters were upset at the new mobsters who were black in town. And they said, we can't let them get away with that. He called the black one something. And he said, because we're of Roman creed. Meaning, like, we have our job is to chase them out and destroy them and wipe them out, which is pretty much what happened during the Dark Ages. We had what was called the Renaissance period, where the Spanish Inquisition took place and the Roman imperial leadership and the Vatican and all of them ran the people of color out who ruled the world at one time. But we do know that Jacob is the Esau is the end of the world. And Jacob is the beginning of a new world, which is after we come through what we're going through. Man. Jacob will be in charge again. Let's see, Obadiah verse 8. Shall I not in that day, said the Most High, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau, and the mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that everyone of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, for what you've been doing to him continuously. We still sitting up here asking for civil rights in 2020. In verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them. But thou should have not looked down, thou should not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Talking about Jerusalem, Zion, Israelites. And telling Esau how you look down on Jacob like we got you now. It's all about a control mechanism. Secret societies teach this at the top level, at the 33rd level, 32nd level. Keep them under control and never let that man rise up against you, over you again. Or we'll lose everything we have. Because right now we got the power to force vaccinations, force them to stay in their house, and force them to not go to work. You have no power, but the power of Yah. Verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered. This is the Most High Yah warning him when he gets ready to destroy Enoch and Esau. He's telling him, you should have never entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. This is like somebody's mom and daddy said, you should have never came in my house, mess with my kids. It's on. God's jewels. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity, while they were down, while they were being chastised by me. Thou should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid your hands on what on their substance in the day of their calamity. On what the Most High Yah meant for us, they took it. Don't you know the wealth of Israel, of true Israelites, Jerusalem has been stolen? It's not those people. The Khazars, because they came from the Ukraine Caucasus Mountains. And you know what? Something snuck up on the internet and they wiped it clean real quick. Some of those people are still live in the Caucasus Mountains and they walk on all fours. You Google it, you'll find it. I'm not trying to be politically correct today. I don't have time for that. 14. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. And if that's not talking about slavery, because see, what people don't know is there were many uprisings. It wasn't just Nat Turner and Harriet Tubman. It's every week it was a group of them trying to get back home and get away. Fighters! Can't keep Judah and Benjamin down. And the Levitical priesthood. And then the scriptures tell us, I don't have the scripture right now, that we were much larger. We were stronger then. That's why they threw us in fields for 12 hours in the hot 80-100-degree sun to pick cotton, and we wasn't falling out. There's no other nation or race that could do it. We sun shine on us, and we start sweating. We glisten like a beautiful bronze statue. This tells you that we've been trying to escape and get away, trying to flee up north, everywhere. And this is how police were created. That's why you see a star, police badge, satanic. As a policeman, you have to take a vow, an oath, swear into some allegiance. And they started as a slave patrol to go out, catch slaves, and return them back to Esau. He's warning, he's telling them, you cut off those of his that did escape. Neither should thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine head. Hallelujah. That was powerful. There's a day of reckoning coming. We've got a few more. Let's get Zechariah, the second chapter. Verse 6. Ho, ho, come forth. Y'all thought that was a rap song, huh? Everybody say ho. It was right there in the Bible. Thousands of years ago. That's proof of who we are as people right there. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Most High, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Most High. Now deliver thyself, Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Whoa! Zion is Jerusalem, the city of David. You're currently dwelling with Babylon. Get ready to free thyself. That means it's time for us to stop even worrying or caring about who win this dang election. He said, come out of her, my people. I don't care. None of your policies are going to benefit me. They didn't even benefit me when it was a black president. So let's get it straight. Our Redeemer, our Savior, will be Yeshua when he returns, coming the same way he left, through the clouds. Guess he's not coming today because I don't see no clouds in the sky. This is a good chapter to read as well. This is so prophetic about preparing ourselves as being his people for his return. And we've got to start freeing ourselves. But let me go on to the other ones that I have. Psalms 137. Verses 7 and 8. Remember, O Yah, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. This is us saying, destroy them, raise it. Asking the Most High to remember Edom in the day of Jerusalem when he's getting ready to take care of us. Will you avenge us of the things that he's done? It's a cold world, man. You don't have an army to fight for you. You don't have a representative at the table. And then when you have one that seems to be leaning towards your direction to benefit you, something happens to him and they get taken out. And the Most High wants you to look for him and his son, Yeshua, and put your hope and trust in him, not a government. We already know where this government thing is going. You have no power. You don't have a seat at the table. And all of these men are connected and related. Esau, the Amalekites, Edomites, that's all of Rome, Russia, Germany, Babylon, Switzerland, Sweden. These people are all cousins that are keeping their foot on your neck. And now with the George Floyds, their knee on your neck, literally. Isaiah 13 and 1. I just got two more scriptures. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. And skip down to verses 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth, shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee one into his own land. Ain't nobody going to be wanting to come over here to America. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through. That means stabbed, pierced. And everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. That, believe it or not, that was a warning unto us who were aligned with the heathens and the Gentiles. You going down too. I'm sorry that this is a harsh book. This book is harsh. It's real. Yah's judgment, you don't want nothing to do with being on the wrong side of Yah's judgment. He's saying, even if you married to one of these people and your allegiance is to them, their God, and what they serve, you're going down too. Because they all got to pay a price. Well, Where am I at? It gets even worse. Verse 16, their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. You will not be able to buy these people out your house. And God's saying he's going to send in another troops from other countries. Boots are already on the ground here. And the Medes spoken of here is Iran. Yes, Ishmael's people who are loco, loco, loco. I mean, anybody that's going to strap two backpacks to themselves and start calling on their God and try to take out a bunch of people because you're talking about you're going to get versions in the next life. He said, I'm going to unleash the Medes as a part of my destruction against Esau and Babylon for what they've done to my people. And I'm thrusting everybody through. And if my people is all lined up with them, which y'all know we got a lot of them, that like to just coon up with them, he's saying, you're done. You're done. I personally know people of my culture who hate their own people. I personally have seen it. Been raised up and trained and conditioned in their mind to hate themselves. As far as I'm going to go with that. Check this out. Verse 19, let's go ahead and get this one. So this is one of those good hope scriptures. Once it gets dark again, like it was dark in San Francisco about a month or two ago, dark all day. After the darkness settles, verse 19 says, and Babylon, which is the Americas, the glory of kingdoms, the one that everybody was trading with, why we got so many docks and Amazon, this is where all the money's going, flowing and coming in and out. This is why they call you cattle and sheeple, because you're working every day and you're spending the money is the life force behind capitalism and their socialism that they're trying to move into. But listen to what it says. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans, excellency shall be as when the Most High overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is still laying waste today because of the sulfuric acid that came out of the sky as bombs and destroyed that city. No greenery or shrubs have ever been grown in that region again. It's been shown. National Geographic. You have to start watching the right channels. Turn off your reality shows. That region, which they know is Sodom and Gomorrah, is still filled with a sulfuric acid compound, and there's nothing that grows there. There's going to be so much desolation in Babylon, it's going to be destroyed. You just got a glimpse when this pandemic first hit and everybody stayed home and scared to come outside, and you saw tumbleweeds and mountain lions running through the city. That was just a glimpse of what's to come. But he's coming back to his people. Now, Deuteronomy 28 says that these curses are a sign on us forever. It's how we help to identify who are the people of Yah by understanding the curses. There ain't no curse on Robbie Schwarzenberg and Steinberg. They living their best life now. Own everything. All the media channels, all the entertainment, all the sports teams. A lot of them change their name so you can't identify who they are. Synagogue of Satan. So none of these curses are applicable to them. They're not spread throughout the four corners of the earth. These people are given to what Paul warned Timothy about. Objects of science. The science. Well, the science says, well, the president won't follow the science. Paul told Timothy, watch out for them with that trickery of science, which is all you hear today, science and technology. Trying to get your kids to go to STEM school so they can learn science, technology, and how to code and how to do all these things because they want to say it's all about the science to the point where this artificial intelligence will take over everything. They call them algorithms. That's why they want you to like everything so they can figure out how you think. Satan has to use science because he don't have the work of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, working on his behalf. So in order to incorporate his demons, he got to use Apple phone 11 and 12 and Alexa and Siri to spy on your behind, your TVs and your laptops, all that. That's for his intricate network so he can have you on camera. And now they can have you in any situation with this new technology. They can put your face on somebody laying up in a bed with a bunch of animals doing something. They can do anything with this technology. It's witchcraft. Using technology to blackmail people who have been caught up into adultery, etc. But nevertheless, I'm going to leave it there. Who we are as a people, his people. Know Deuteronomy 28. Know Psalms 93. When you go through Psalms 93, I want you to Wikipedia each one of those names so you can break down the countries that are confederate against us. That is the chapter that says they said, let's make the name of Israel Yasharala no more. Let's ban it. Let's get rid of it. See, that's Israel, I-S-R-A-L. We were Yasharala, Y-S-H-A-R-A-L-A, Yasharala, from Yaqub. And they said, let's make them no more. Let's wipe them off the face of the earth because we were running everything. And we just got out of hand because we started wanting to be like the other countries, eat what they eat, dress with the how they dress, marry their women. Solomon, notorious for that. Samson, notorious for that. Okay. That's going to be it for today. Know who we are as a people, but know you got to repent and come back to him. Like 1 Kings 8 chapter, to me that was pretty powerful. But the things that you got to do once you wake up is a long list of things. So I would keep 1 Kings 8 there. Don't forget, Psalms 93 ain't nothing but the United Nations making sure y'all don't rise up. I always tell this story. At the United Nations, when Ahmadinejad of Iran came and pulled a Hitler and said, America's in trouble because she's still holding on to God's jewels and have not paid reparations, taking care of the slaves, and how y'all shooting them down. Man, they cleared out the United Nations building because it's satanically ran. And that's how we're going into one world governance. And the Antichrist will come on the scene and he'll rule all these nations. And everybody shall worship the beast and the Vatican. And all in the name of science, you're going to accept the mark of the beast because it's so convenient. To not have to stand in line at the store, to wave a chip, wave your phone, wave some kind of card, and no more physical money because you're scared it's got a virus on it. Oh, man. Well, Esau got you wearing his mask, so he figures he's got you under control now. Esau, Amalekites, they figure their plan is working out well. They know that we know who we are as a people. Please, Isaiah 58, lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion and show my people their transgressions. Don't side with somebody because the life, you know, they lose. Well, the life you lose could be your own, but fact of the matter, the blood could be on your hands for not telling them about themselves. They ain't got time to be in a popularity contest. Everybody's not going to like you. They didn't like Yeshua. The scripture says he was a man who was uncomely and it was dark as brass put in the oven, blacker than coal. Next week, I'll probably go ahead and cover every scripture that they took out in the NIV that said describes our complexion for the ones that want to tell you that it doesn't matter. Well, it mattered enough for you to change it and put it in all the movies and make sure it's never a black Yasha HaMashiach seen on screen. And keep that image out, but there's a black Madonna with a black baby Christ up in Russia. Sorry, Babylon. You see what's coming your way. You see what's coming your way. All praises to the Most High. I need to take a break this throat. So I'm getting ready to go ahead and log out. Let you enjoy the rest of your Shabbat, your Sabbath. And I want to say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Keep the victory. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hold on. It won't be long. We just have to endure until the end. Shabbat shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Shirt and chase Satan out of earth.
I got